Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome each one in this evening. I'd like to ask you to stand and take your little red book, page 90 in your little red book. Page 90. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We've been in heavenly places, felt the blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things the family can afford. Let's just turn our praise toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Be seated. Who's first? Who has praise on their heart tonight?
Matt, I would like to thank the Lord this evening for his physical protection to me when this whole virus, whatever this is, started. I've been on the street with it every day, and then there was a period of time when they cut our hours and all that stuff. And I know at the beginning I was really concerned, but I thought, no, I have to work and so on. That's what the Lord did. I'm thankful. Another time during that, I almost rear-ended somebody. I mean, I wasn't doing anything. I'm just driving, and for some reason, I didn't catch it. And another guy was following me, and I just all at once. And boy, I'm so thankful that I didn't bring somebody. I'm thankful the Lord has watched over us.
Amen. Anyone else?
Now, I want to thank the Lord for the little thing he said this morning. We had to go pick up a bed yesterday in Heath, and I had to take the trailer, and I'm not used to driving a trailer in town, and I was pretty nervous. Everything just went great, and it was real smooth. Got down there, got back, and no issues, so
thank you for that. Thank the Lord. And what else? Amen. Thank the Lord.
I'm just thankful. I guess I should start off as Alex had to go to the urgent care for a rash that she had gotten. Nothing serious. But she had a rash where she needed a cervical shot. She had had it last time. She had her C-section. But my point is, I'm just thankful how it just really made me think that the Lord's really been with me. Even with my two pregnancies and my deliveries, and it really made me feel joy in the Lord about how he just, giving birth is enjoyable, but he made mine easy. I didn't have to go to urgent care. doctor, he protected me. He made it a good experience for me. He just protected me. And so I'm just thankful for things, you know, you don't really realize at the time, but you look back and you're like, he was there and he was with me and he protected me. And he made it so much easier than what it could have been. But also think of Alex, just for speedy recovery with her rash, and just hope that the Lord's with her and help her. But I'm just thankful.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Anyone else? Dad?
Well, I'd like to thank God. I've seen my great-granddaughter. She's beautiful, just like all the rest of the granddaughters, great-granddaughters. I'm just thankful that everybody's helped.
Amen. Anyone else?
I want to thank God that we get to be back in the house of God tonight. I can surely say it's been good to be back in the house of God.
Amen.
I want to thank God, too, for letting me spend time with some of my family that I hadn't got to see for a long time.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank the Lord, too. I'll probably talk about here a little bit later, but I just want to thank for my family, for my daughters, and Janelle. And I was just doing some reflecting today and thinking about some things I was studying. And, I didn't even hold them at lunch or dinner time. I said, I just want you to know I'm thankful to have you with me. Because things have happened and we may not all be here, but I just want the Lord to know I'm thankful for him, and it was good to us. And I also want to thank him for, while we were out, being able to have the opportunity to have the parking lot services and Sunday school and things. As a parent, you want to try to keep your kids staying a little bit focused on the things of God, and we had that opportunity to. And I'm just thank God that He provided that throughout the time that we're not able to assemble in here. And I just want to know thank you for that.
Amen. Anyone else? Sister Manic?
I thank God for 52 years of marriage, and the first, the last 47 has been with God, and it's so much better than God's in the marriage.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Happy anniversary. Anyone else? I say we thank God for the little things also. Was it yesterday or Friday? I can't remember which day. I'd been out in the backyard and I took a picture. I said, Chris, you need to go look at your roses. Well, I know I told you about it this morning. And I took a picture of them and a couple pictures and said we would have it. Well, lunchtime or this afternoon before we come in here, she said, did you see our roses today? And I said, no. She said, you need to go look at them. Just in 2 days' time, they had a lot. They just exploded. I'm like, I went out there, wow. And I looked at them, and I don't know all the songs, but I could hear Brother Whitehead's voice in my mind. Thank you for the roses. That song they sang, thank you for the roses. And I just sat and looked at it for just a minute, and I said, them are beautiful. And, this is just an exceptional year for them, isn't it? And so if you want to see some roses, drive by and look at Chris's roses. So, but I do thank God for that. I thank Him for summertime. I like fall, but this is my favorite time. The flowers are starting to come in bloom, and you can smell. Was about a week ago, or maybe a couple weeks ago, you can smell like the honeysuckle,
yeah.
And you can just smell it. I mean, it smelled good, The multiflora rose bushes, they're even pretty right now, but unless they get a hold of you, they're not very pretty then. But I just thank God for this. Again, I'm thankful for all of you that made your way in this evening. And this morning, we had people in this morning that we hadn't seen in a while. And thankful to do that. So just appreciate God's goodness to me. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve Him. And I really think about that a lot. I don't know why. I don't know why God troubled me. And I don't know why, but I'm glad He did. And it's the best way to live. And that's why I told Chris. I said, I don't know why people don't want to live for the Lord. What He's got to offer is so much better than what we think we had the other way. But so God's good to us. Anyone else have anything for we got time, we're gonna go to another song. So stay in that little red book, and if you want to praise after that you can. Page 95. The longer I serve Him. I got it, sir. him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more joy he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You say amen to that tonight.
Amen.
The longer you serve him, the sweeter he grows. And there's times we go through growing pains at times and all that, but when you look back and reflect over it, boy, it sure is a sweet thing to serve the Lord. So, these songs, I asked Brother Mike if he had the message. The Lord told me that this morning I unloaded my heart. And I could tell the brother was burdened. And he said he knew he was going to be asked. And I said, well, I'm going to lead singing tonight. God give me these songs. So, we're just sticking right in this book, page 99. Just a little chorus. We'll sing it a couple times through. We're still on that 183. I'm so glad I come into this family.
Amen.
And he's wonderful that he let me in. I'm so glad God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Notice we say brother sister around here, it's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family. Have a praise on their heart tonight. It's good to be in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
He's worthy of our praise, that's for sure. We will never, ever be able to give Him enough praise.
From now, I want to thank the Lord. Sometimes things happen, we don't have time to pray. Tim and I had been to Red Lobster for dinner today, and on the way home, he's coming down Rain Rock, and I was driving because he was sleeping, and was coming down through there, and out from behind this barn pulled this car right in front of me. I mean, I couldn't see him. I didn't know he was coming. And, I mean, he was just right there. And thank the Lord no one was coming. I was able to swerve to get around him. And I thought, thank the Lord. I mean, I didn't have time to pray and ask God for protection. Could have been a very bad accident because he was coming pretty fast. So I thank the Lord for his protection today.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Anyone else? Any outspoken prayer request?
Pray that they get my dad's hot water heater thing fixed. He needs a bath real bad. He's just washing what he can wash off and everything. And he missed taking a shower.
Yeah. Been working on it for quite a while. I know Suge's been working on it for a while, so.
Yeah, but then the thingamajig broke on it, and the man's coming clear from up around Cleveland down here. It takes him 2.5 hours to get down here. They ain't got the part yet.
Yep. So, remember this need. Anyone else have any outspoken requests? Brother Tim not feeling well. So remember him? You remember Brother Matt Sayers hadn't been feeling well?
Brother Matt, I would like, if you guys think of it, to pray for Alex. He's back to working 7 days a week again. I've talked to him a few times, and I'm pretty sure he'd like to be here. You know, I haven't actually asked him. I don't want to get involved. You know, he's an adult, and I just got to leave that alone. But I'm pretty sure he'd like to be here. I'd really like to see the Lord. I am not even telling God how to work it out. Just figure it out.
You know? Amen. Remember Brother Alex's work situation. I know, didn't someone quit, I think, too, and dumped a lot more on his plate.
So. The guy quit. He had to take it all off.
Yeah. So let's remember him in a special way. Also, I do not know her name. She lives down our road somewhere. I was thinking about this the other day. Chris and I picked her up one morning, and we was heading the opposite way, and we was going to Zanesville, and we was going down towards 79 on our road. And this lady was out, and she kind of was waving. I thought she was flagging us down like she was in distress, so we stopped, and she wouldn't know where we was going to town, and I said, well, yeah, but not, we're going to Zanesville, we're going to be gone for a while. And she wanted to ride into Bladensburg, so we turned around, brought her into town, and she was had some problems, you could tell, from when we talked to her a little bit. And then yesterday she was out, and was it yesterday? She was out walking too, and didn't have very much on. And she tried to flag me down. Chris was with me, and we was going the opposite direction. I thought, I'm not going to turn around. I didn't have time. But when I was going back home, I was alone. She tried to flag me down. I thought, I'd like to help you out, but I just went right on by. And I just told Chris, I said, she just acts like she's lost, doesn't she? And I just, God knows who she is, and I wish there was something we could do for her, and we could pray for her, and maybe God can help her out. I don't know her name, but that's two or three times we've seen her on the road now, and I'm just afraid that yesterday there was a carload of young boys that looked like picked her up, and I'm afraid somebody's going to end up in a lot of trouble, and I just pray that God will help them and just take care of that. So just praying for the sin in our world, and you know, these people, man, they need help. So just remember this, need remember our nation, remember our leaders, and everything's turning political right now. I'm gonna get this messed up, so I'm gonna ask you to explain to, would you tell what you read about the, what you was talking about with me, about nobody wanting to know the iniquity abounding.
Oh, and we was reading that this morning.
Can everybody hear her?
Where iniquity abounds.
Come here. No, they can't. Come up here. Stand up, please. Turn around, face them. Stand up, please. So see.
See. All right. It said, we was reading that scripture this morning, where iniquity abounds, in the middle column, my Bible said lawlessness. And I told him, I said, you can see that in the world today with all this rioting. Everybody is, they don't want no rule over them. That's just a sign of the time. I mean, it's, but I said, you can see it. They don't, they're fighting the police. They don't want, they just don't want law. And that's carrying over into the church where people don't even want. No rule. They don't. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want, you know, God to rule even. And that's what we was discussing.
I thought that was good when she brought that out, because I thought some of these cities, they're talking about disbanding their police force.
Yeah.
And it'll be total chaos.
Yeah.
And that's where, man, God help us. Revive us, Lord, revive us. Revive us. So, anyone else have us? We need to pray for our leaders, pray for our nation. Anyone else have any outspoken requests?
Continue to remember Brother Gary's co-worker, John, and then also Sister Carol's nephew, Jimmy, broke his kneecap.
Yeah, one of the fellows, he's not saved, but he helps him a lot at the church. Sister Carol's nephew helps him with the heavier type work. He fell and came down on his knee and shattered his kneecap. So, his name is Jimmy. And then also, continue to remember Brother Jerry's friend, John, that accidentally killed his girlfriend this last week. So, any other outspoken request?
Brother Matt, remember Ryan, he's not feeling well tonight.
Remember Brother Ryan not feeling well tonight. So, just remember the many needs that's across there. Anyone else? Take unspoken burdens, upraised hand. I'd like to ask you to stand. Sister Kristen, you want to open service for us, please?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for bringing us all here tonight, safe through the Lord. Just ask that we have many needs. Lord, just be with Alex for a situation where he's helping to do the community services for Lord. Just ask that just be with this man who retired his kneecap in Michigan.
God help him, yes.
Certainly killed his girlfriend. He says that the loved ones are sick. So you do the service tonight and just grind you up there so you get something out of it and just thank you.
Maybe seated. Have one more song before we open up the specials. So I enjoy getting the lead singing. I'm not that good at it, but I enjoy it. And I watching people, certain songs mean things, and this one's been on my mind a while too. Page 75, He lives. Serve a risen Savior. He's in. Good verse right here. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him. The help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lived, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. You ask me how I know He lives.
He lives with me, my
God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. That last little part there is a little too high for me. I like this last verse though. Think about this. The hope of all who seek Him. Boy, when you're seeking Him, when it's a problem, you have a hope. When you find Him, things will get better. Amen. Right? Lord, I think of that lady. If I could just press through that crowd, just touch the hem of His garment. Just the hope of all who seek Him. And then the help of all who find. Because once you find Him, you can't go away with Him without getting help. Where did He ever deny anybody in the Bible? Help. It may not have come in the form they wanted it. Even the lady that the Syrophoenician daughter, lady that come to him, and he said, you know, the meat's for the children. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. He said, by thy faith, your daughter's been made whole. And she was right then. The help of all who find Him. Isn't that amazing? Anyone have a song on their heart or a special? Anybody have a special tonight? Did you raise your hand? Well, I thought I seen your arm go up. Oh, don't do that when I'm asking for. That's like at an auction. You never want to fix your glasses. Or anyone have a special? Anybody have a song before I turn over to Brother Mike? A couple choir songs. I'm going to sit down and listen though.
Page 47. Brother Matt's been talking about this for a while throughout all this last several weeks, and been thinking about this song and the 91st Psalm, and let's get right along with this song tonight. That first verse of that 91st Psalm, if I get it right, it said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty." You know, it's just a comforting thought to know that if we dwell with Christ, He'll be with us. So.
Amen.
Amen. Page 47.
That is high.
Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Praise God.
about them tambourines. All right. I know they never get them. I like them. And it does something to that song. I like them. And I can hear it in my head. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I think this is a real privilege, getting together. I sat down because I wanted to hear the choir sing tonight. And I've missed it. I've missed it a lot. And they sing that song, where they didn't have no tambourines, so I want to hear it with them.
I heard it right in verse 2. Do it from there.
Thank the Lord tonight. I praise His name because He saved me.
Amen.
Amen. Not only saved me, He keeps me. And I just want the Lord to know I'm thankful. And anyone else have any praise for before we get started tonight? I won't have you here too long, as you probably already know that. But we do thank the Lord for all He's done for us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, God, for Your goodness to us. And Lord, we're thankful for just the opportunity to be able to gather in again to worship You, Lord. And God, we just don't want to take it for granted, God. And Lord, we just want You to know we thank You, God, for all You've done. And we ask You to just help us now as we look into Your Word. You would just give us the help that we need. Give us the anointing, Lord. And God, we ask You just help each one of us here, Lord, to be able to take something from the message tonight, Lord, and be able to draw strength from it. God, we pray. Just go with us and help us, and Lord, we'll thank You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do thank the Lord. I know we've said it a lot lately, and you know, when this first happened, just being able to gather into worship, you don't realize the privileges that it is, and the you know, how thankful you are to have brothers and sisters to worship with. And you know, probably come a time where I'll have to be reminded again, but you know, I thank the Lord for being able to come in tonight and worship. So, and I do thank him for all he's done and just how he's been with us, you know, throughout the last several months. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Elena's incident. I'm not trying to like just keep rehashing it, but I just felt that the Lord wanted me to talk about it a little bit, because it's going to lead into something, into my message today. And so, but he's been good to my family and I, and has kept us, you know, give us the strength throughout the last few months. And you know, and everyone here has been affected, no doubt, in one way or another. Maybe some worse than others in different things. Many have lost jobs or got hours cut. Thankfully, I was able to stay employed. They did cut our salaries, but you know, I was thankful to still have a job. And I didn't expect, because it, you know, this whole maybe 2 weeks turned into 10 weeks and a long time. And I thought, man, they're probably not going to give us our salary cuts back just because they need, you know, to try to survive. And I really wasn't expecting it, and I got an email this week from HR, and they said we're giving them back this week, and I want the Lord to know I'm thankful for that. But you know, it's been difficult for several people, more than just ones that are affected by the sickness, just people dealing with jobs and different things with the economy. But you know, he allowed things to take place that we may not understand right now, but he never brought us to a point that we had to fail him because of problems or struggles we've dealt with. And you know, he will allow us to be tested and tried, but if he knew that we couldn't handle it, he wouldn't allow us to go through it. He wouldn't put us through anything that he knows that we couldn't handle if we rely on him and bring our problems to him and come to him with them. Just think of when you're in a battle, God knows that I can handle it. If you think God knows that I can handle what I'm going through, sometimes it's hard to get yourself when you're the one in it, but he knows that I can handle this and push through it, but only if I rely on him. And the title of the message tonight is Drawing Nigh Unto God. This is the title of the thought that came to me, is Drawing Nigh Unto God. But if we rely on him, he knows that we'll make it through, because he knows what lies ahead. It's when we quit looking to him for help that the problems all of a sudden get too big for us, right? And we struggle to understand why he allows them to happen. And I've dealt with some of this in my own home the last few months, and you know, it's as a parent, and you know, as a minister, you think about these things, and you try to see what can I use this for? God has a plan. He can use this to help someone else. And you know, back on March 26th, it was a nice Thursday, and the weather was pretty nice for March 26th, and we had been cooped up for about a week and a half, and thinking it was just a couple week long stretch that this was going to happen, and not knowing it was going to turn into as long of a time that it did. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get out of the house after I get off work, take the girls for a hike, except for Kristen. She's not a hiker, and that's fine. She just doesn't enjoy it. And so her and Janelle stayed at the home, and I think they watched a movie or something, and just, she was talking about it today. They were doing something together. I don't remember. Doing a puzzle. Okay, they were doing a puzzle. And so, but I was like, we're going to go for a hike. And it was a nice day for one. After I got off, we headed up behind the house, took a walk. And I thought we would go over, you know, I was going to take somewhere they'd never been before, because my buddy and I used to go hike over behind the river. And there's a real steep, pretty steep cliff back there, right where, if you know, most of you know where I live, you go, as soon as you cross the river there, that river cuts behind St. Louisville and back around. But right there in the back, it has a real sharp bend. And there's a real steep cliff face right there, and it kind of works its way down to the river from the right to the left as you're looking at it. And we came in from the back side, on the top side, and was looking down over, and you could, it's a really neat view. And you know, we got a couple pictures of the girls beside a couple trees where you could see the cliff down behind them. And you know, we started working our way down the kind of the embankment there, and tried not to get too close to the edge, but as we got close to the bottom, we were pretty close to getting down to where we could get down to the riverbeds, what I was working towards. And I don't really know if they knew what I was doing. They were just following me. And myself, Riley, and Whitney had already made it past that point. And I was standing by a tree, and then Melena was kind of scooting on her hind end down the hill. And it had rained a few days prior to that, so I think between us three already going through and working the leaves out of the way and sliding, we kind of had taken out any traction there was left. And she just slid and just grabbed a hold of a dead limb, and it just went over with her. And, you know, I heard it. I didn't see it. Riley watched it happen. I don't know if Whitney's seen it, so I think she's seen it happen. And, you know, I heard her fall, and then I heard her screaming, "Dad, I can't feel my arms. I can't feel my arms." And, you know, as a father, you're like, oh, great. You know, you think of the worst, like broken back or something, broken neck. And I go, you know, there was a log that kind of went down the cliff. So I got on the log and shimmied down that and went down to her. And I seen her legs were moving. She was kind of kicking her legs. So I was like, okay, she has feeling in her legs, or she can at least move them. And so we got her, I got over to her, and you know, she was, you know, a lot of pain, really hurting. Couldn't move her arm. Her arm was up behind her head like this, and she couldn't move it. She was kind of laying upside down. And, you know, I was trying to be real careful with it. You know, because you never really know what's going on inside there. And so I got it up and moved it up in front of her, took my belt off, made a little sling, and kind of got it to where she wouldn't move it anywhere. But she was in so much pain, she couldn't hardly move, and it's kind of in shock. But I'm thankful that, you know, through all that, God gave me, at first I was pretty excited. I called Janelle, was a little worked up, but God calmed me down, and I was able to keep my bearings. And we had prayer, and was kind of, I recited a couple of scriptures, and she was like, "I don't think they were working at the time, Dad." And I said, "They probably weren't. I'm sure you probably didn't feel like they were," because she was like, "I don't think prayer was doing a thing." But I'm thankful that we had the opportunity, and I knew I had those scriptures, and, you know, maybe it was for me more than it was for her, because it helped keep me settled to where I could help her stay as calm as she is, because she's a little more the dramatic of my daughters when it comes to stuff like that. And so I was trying to keep her calm, and she was, you know, she was pretty excited. And then I'm not knowing what all is going on. You know, is it more than a broken arm? Is there something inside going on? You know, that happened. She fell on rocks, and so I was pretty worried about it. So I called Janelle and told her to call the squad, and they actually ended up calling me because they needed to ping my cell phone to know where I was at back in the woods, and they were able to get it. But they came back in there, and Whitney was a trooper. She waded across the river and ran out to the road to meet the squad, and then Riley was pretty much in distress, just not really knowing what to do, because Lana was upset and she was crying, and then poor Kristen, Janelle left her at home without knowing what was going on, so she was sitting there worried to death, wondering what was going on with Lana. And, you know, because I called Janelle, I'm like, "Hey, it's not good. Lana fell. I know her arm's broken, but I'm not sure what else. It's not good." And I didn't really know at the time. And so, and then, you know, Janelle's sitting out there just anxiously waiting for us to get out. And it took them a while. The medics took a while to get across the river. They were trying to figure out how to get her, and there was just no way to get an ATV back there. So we ended up having to, they tried to make a sling out of a strap, but Elena's she's a full-size adult. You know, she's not someone you just throw over our shoulder and carry out the woods. So we ended up, the sling wasn't working too well. We carried her a little bit with it, but we had to wade through the river in like three different places to try to stay in the shallow parts. And we got her across. They gave her some fentanyl to kind of just settle her down, and they put her on this plastic, just like tarp with straps on the side, like a little stretcher. We, about seven of us, got on it, and we hauled her out of the woods probably, I don't know, a couple hundred yards. But got her to the squad, and, you know, and then all the hospital stuff, we couldn't get in the hospitals because the COVID started, and we went to Licking. They'd let one of us back in with her there, but then they took her to OSU, and they wouldn't even let us in the doors. And Janelle was fit to be tied because it's her daughter, but she's a senior, or she's 18. She's still in high school, but she's 18, so she's an adult. You can't come in. And so she's pretty upset, and thank the Lord there was a nurse there that she came out and talked to us, and she's like, "I can tell you are Christian people." She's like, "Can I have prayer with you?" And before we left, this nurse came out and had prayer with us. And I thought, you know, it's just probably what we needed at the time. And, you know, I don't know if we ever met her again. No. And so then they come out, they're like, "We're going to keep her, you know, basically go home." You know, you can't stay. And that was hard to leave and leave her there. We got home, and Janelle was just, I don't know what to do. She's like, "I can't sleep." I said, let's have prayer. So we got down and beside the bed and prayed. It wasn't 15 minutes, phone rang, 5 minutes maybe, and they were like, come get her. We just set her arm. We're not going to do anything, because we thought they were going to have to do surgery. They talked like they were going to have to do surgery, and they're like, we're just going to set it. She'll be all right. Bring her home. They put some kind of apparatus sling on it to try to help support it, and I think the Lord knew it needed to be operated on, but he knew that wasn't the time or the place. And I look back now, and I'm like, he just sent her home so we could take her somewhere local, because mom couldn't handle it. And so they called her, they sent her home, and we were able to be with her, and we ended up taking her to the orthopedic surgeon where they had surgery and did all that. So, but, and we were able to be with her. And we had a couple nights, it was pretty rough, after she broke, and then the day after her surgery, the night of her surgery, she was in a lot of pain. We called Brother Matt, had prayer, and just a lot of things going on. I was sitting today and just reflecting on all that, and a couple things come to my mind. You know, an incident like this caused you to realize the love of a parent to a child. You know, and I thought, you know, she's 18 years old. It's not like she's, you know, she's full grown adult. But I thought, you know, there's that love that I have, or Janelle and I have towards our child, and how much you really care for them. And it could have been one of the other ones in that same instance. You know, Elena was like, if it was Riley, she might have had the same problem I did. But if it was Whitney, she would have been all busted up, because she's nothing but skin and bones, you know. And just, she was teasing her about it. But and the doctor told her, he said, you're lucky that all you broke was your arm. He's like, you could have broke your neck, your back. And but the thought I had out of that was, if I love my children that much, if Janelle loves, we love our children that much, how much more does God love his children? And that's the thought that I was really thinking about after through all that. And, you know, thank the Lord that you know, they're well, and they're all doing, they're still here with me. But how much more does God love his children when he sees them struggle or go through a hard time? And then they fail to reach out to him when they have need, right? The ones that are lost will not take heed to his calling. He wants to help them. He gave his life for you and I both. And, you know, he didn't just die. He didn't just fall off a cliff and die, right? He was crucified, and as a sacrifice for each one of us. Yet there are so many out there that are just following after their own selfish ways and seeking what they want or what they feel is the right way to go. You know, if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then one other verse, jumping over to Luke chapter 19. If you want to turn there, it's just one verse. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, and Christ, he loved us so much that he gave his life, and he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And, you know, we've all, it says, like have sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. But he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, God wants to do good for his children and to help them, but we must seek him. And we must be obedient to his word. We cannot just go about with our own ideas and our own thoughts and live the way we want, and then all of a sudden something bad happens, and we just expect that we can call on God and reach God. And we do that, and we're just praying in vain. And we talked about a little bit this morning, and I want to go on a little bit from the scriptures that I had mentioned to Brother Matt before he started the message. They've been heavy on my heart. But in John chapter 9 and verse 31, it says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." And as I read that, it doesn't just say that he doesn't hear the sinner. He says, "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will." Right? We must be doing his will to the best of our ability, to the knowledge and the understanding that God has given us in order for God to hear our prayers. We talk about some of the reasons we serve God, and ultimately it's because we love him, as we discussed this morning. But another reason for me is I know that he is, I know where my help is at, right? And I know that when I have need and things come up, I want to be in my best position to be able to reach God and get a hold of God and to call out to him. You know, when that incident happened, I need God. I need someone to call on. And he helped me stay calm, keep things in order. But there have been times in my life, and maybe in your life, that you needed to call out to God, but in your heart, you knew that you weren't in the place that you were going to get a hold of him. You might have called out to him just because you knew it was the right thing to do, but in your heart, you were like, "This is probably in vain," or "I know this is in vain, but because I'm not where I need to be in the position I need to be in." And so that's another factor that helps drive you to stay true to God is, "Lord, I want to be ready to be able to call on you," or as a minister, if someone calls me and wants to have prayer, you know, I don't want to be in a position that I can't have prayer with them if you know, I'm allowing the things of the flesh to get a hold of me. And we can't be living a wicked and sinful life and expect God to hear our prayers. So I'm going to go back into 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7. Verse 13 and 14, and he says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." And he tells them, he says, humble yourselves. You have to pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. Then, if you do these things, then I will hear you and I will heal your lands. And and if you go back, and Brother Danny's told us before, he says, go back and see what they're talking about here. So if you go back and read chapter 6, they had just finished the temple. Solomon had just finished the temple. They had brought it in the Ark of the Covenant. And basically in chapter 6, Solomon was giving a prayer to God. And he was telling, you know, basically if you read in several of those scriptures, 24 and 25, and back in chapter 6, he told him, he said, he was praying to God. He said, "If thy people Israel be put to the worst before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in his house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou givest them and to their fathers." And then he goes on in a couple other places and basically saying, "Lord, if Israel turns from you," because back then they didn't have the Spirit of God. They sinned. They committed sin. And it said in, let me find that, in verse 36, it says, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not." So he knew that they were going to fail and fall. And he said, "Lord, if they do and they repent, forgive them." And he was praying to God. And then God was answering his prayer in chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. After all that, he had told him, he said, "Okay, if I send pestilence because of their failures, but if I do all these things, if they will seek me and turn from their wicked ways." And another thing you read there, he said, "If my people," he wasn't talking about, you know, you got all these people out here protesting and committing all this killing people or what, throwing stones and breaking stuff, stealing stuff. He was talking about his people getting their hearts in order to where he would heal their lands. He wasn't talking, you know, yeah, they need God, but he needs his people that are all stirred up and getting angry with all these things. Don't let those things affect you to the point that you can't pray. You need to pray and get a hold of God. Get yourself out of, if there's wickedness in your life, get it out, repent, and then God will heal your lands and hear your prayer. And So God needs his people to focus on him and not on the things of the flesh. And you know, the question I had, are you one of God's people today? You know if you are, if you're not. I mean, your heart condemns you and your heart speaks to you, and you know if you're in the place you need to be, if you're living after the flesh or the things of God. And I'm not just talking about the events that are in the news now. Our mind goes to that because it's what we're dealing with currently. But you know, I believe God put a lot of us to the test over the last few months to see how sincere we really were and how much, you know, we really would push ourselves to make sure that we're doing our best to take time and to seek God, to spend time with God when we don't have the regular schedule to kind of go by. We have to make sure that we are disciplined. That's the word I'm thinking of, discipline, to do it ourselves. What about your life and your actions? What do you get involved in? What pleasures do you chase after? Are they to build up your self-image or to make you look good? Or will it glorify God? You know, if we are always after the things of the flesh, we're not going to be pleasing to God. You know, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, the scripture, some things I was praying about last weekend, and this passage of scripture come to my mind, and I've been sitting outside in the mornings quite a bit early, like on Saturdays, and some even this morning I did just spend a little bit of time with God. It's been really nice weather in the mornings, and I'm like Brother Matt, I like the flowers too. It's funny, he's talking about the roses. Janelle has one out by the gazebo, and I went over and took a picture of it yesterday, and you know, not really knowing he was looking at his, but I got a picture of her. I think they're really pretty. She don't have as many, it sounds like, as Sister Chris does, but they are the beauty that God puts out there. It's pretty awesome. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, and as you know, if we are cooling off and finding ourselves not as interested in the things of God, your flesh will start to work on you, and you know, it'll start to try to cause you to push back and to relax, and you're not letting the Spirit of God to guide you. And over the last couple months, we haven't gathered as normal, and like I said, it's taken some discipline from us as God's people to keep ourselves in line and to stay where we need to be. And don't think for the minute that the devil won't use any opportunity that he can to get in to try to stir us up, to cause problems in our hearts and in our minds, and to get us to relax and to slow down. But that's what he does. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you maybe had the ability to or you didn't have the ability to. He doesn't really care. He just looks for an opportunity to find a weak one and start working. And he'll take advantage of it. The scripture says that he is out to devour. You know, and if we allow these things to happen, it won't take long. We find ourselves leaning after the flesh in our own ways. And I wanted to stir up our minds tonight to to cause us to think about ourselves. And are we following God? You know, God loved us so much. You know, I thought, if I love my children as much as I love my children, God loves us more than that. And it's hard to fathom and explain that deep of a love sometimes. You know, a love for a companion, you know, it's deep. And it's like, God loves me more than that. And it's hard sometimes to really understand that. And then we turn around and we kind of brush him off sometimes. And it hurts him to see, you know, I don't have, my children aren't out of the house yet, so I'm not, I haven't experienced some of these things where they do things and you're like, what are they doing? You know, I've heard some talk about it, you know, and you're just, you know, I'll probably cross that bridge at some point, but you're going to wonder, what are they thinking? What are they doing? And, you know, as a parent, I'm sure those things probably tug at your heart. But God loves us more than that. And he wants to see us do well. So don't get cool in your experience and brush him off, because he wants to help us. And with all the things going on, he wants us to turn to him so he can heal our land, so he can work with us and turn things around. And then we have lost loved ones we want to see saved. You know, don't stop praying for him. Don't quit because it looks like everything's falling apart. Keep praying for him. Keep bringing him to God. You know, there's a song that I was thinking about, and Janelle said that they actually sang it not too long ago. But it says there's a miracle in the making. One just for you, the Father, is working even now. You know, if we keep bringing him to God, he's still working. We may not see it. We may not feel like he's still working, but he is. And his time is definitely not our time, because we want it to happen now. We want to see it happen now. We don't understand why it takes him so long. But his time is, you know, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, I want to stir up our minds to follow after God. Don't allow all the distractions and the problems to cause us to lose sight of God and our prayers and the things that we, the burdens that we have, what he wants to do for our children, for his children. He loves you and I more than we can understand. And he wants to help be your guide. But you have to draw nigh to him and submit to his word. In James, our last passage of scripture in James chapter 4, in closing, James chapter 4, verse 7, starting in there, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Submit yourselves to God. First, we have to submit ourselves. Lord, here I am. Maybe I don't understand what's going on, but here I am, Lord. I want to be yours. Resist the enemy that tries to stir up your mind and to cause doubt and worries and fear. And then he'll flee. If you resist him in the name of the Lord, draw nigh to God. Lord, help me to stay close to you. Don't be like Peter, that he followed Christ afar off before he denied him. You know, he stayed back. No, let's stay close to God. Draw nigh to him. Keep yourselves clean. Purify your hearts. And don't allow these things to hinder you. And then he says, if you stay humble in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift you up. So that's my message tonight. Draw nigh to God. He loves each one of us more than we'll ever understand, and he wants to do good for his people. So draw nigh to him, stay close to him, and don't follow him afar off. Amen. So, all right, brother, you stand if you'd like. Sing a song, verse or two. Our evening light hymnal, not a typical altar call song, just what the Lord laid on our heart during the message. Very good, very good thoughts. Stick with the Bible, we can't go wrong. Page 103. He's talking about serving him and cooling off and drawing nigh to God. One reason to draw nigh unto him, there's no one like him. There's no one like him. Page 103. There is not a friend like Jesus in the trying scenes of life. He can hear the heart's faint whisper, calm the tempest's raging strife. There is not a friend like Jesus, patient, tender, kind, and true. If you'll be a friend of Jesus, He will be a friend to you. Verse 3. There is not a friend like Jesus. Trust Him everywhere you go. He has trod the way before you, suffered every pain and woe. There is not a friend like Jesus, patient, tender, kind, and true. If you be a friend of Jesus, He will be a friend to you. There is not a friend like Jesus when you draw your life's last breath. If you'll be His friend while living, He will be your friend in death. There is not a friend like Jesus, patient, tender, kind, and true. If you'll be a friend of Jesus, He will be a friend to you. There is not a friend like Jesus. What a blessed thought to be folded in His arms of power, ever in eternity. There is not a friend like Jesus, patient, tender, kind, and true. If you'll be a friend of Jesus, He will be a friend to you. Amen. Thank the Lord for the services today. Been a blessing to be in the house of God today and be with the saints. So appreciate each one that made your way out. And just praying you have a good week. Wednesday night, we're going to start back in the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to be starting over in it because I don't remember exactly where we left off. So we'll just start over in it. It's a lot of information in there. So all hearts clear tonight. So thank the Lord for the message tonight. Thankful for the testimony and sharing with about just how the Lord took care of Sister Elena through all that. So, and you know, it's really remarkable what she's been through and how good she's got mobility of her arm and able to move her arm so this early. So I thank the Lord for that.
Wait till she gets older.
Yeah.
Brother Matt, there's a lot of power in prayer.
Sure there is. Sure is. So let's look to the Lord. We'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we're thankful how you've been with us this night, this day, Lord. And it's been such a beautiful day, Lord. The sunshine, Lord, and just the warm breezes that's out there, Lord. Just a perfect day, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, how you are with us, Lord, and how you've been with our thoughts today, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for each one of these saints that made their way out, Lord. We pray, Father, you bless them, Lord, and Lord, put your hedge of protection around them, Lord, in this trying time. And Lord, as we go forward to be the church, let each one be a bright light shining for you, Lord. Father, we just ask that you'd bless each one and watch them on their way home, Lord, and we'll give you thanks for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.